How's everyone doing today? You must be doing good. You're still talking, so that's good. Praise the Lord. Well, I sent last night in the text to let everybody know about the service that I'd heard some great testimonies from people's lives this week of what the Lord's doing, what he's been sharing in their hearts, and then they've been sharing among each other, especially the women. But I just really have an expectation today of the Lord doing something amazing, not just in the service, like, you know, his presence being known to us, because that is obviously going to happen. But I'm talking about, I really believe that he's going to impart to each and every one of us something that we need. We may not see it or sense it or feel it, but I'm telling you, I believe that he is. I believe that he's working very, very, very dramatically in the days that we're living in. So I want you to, and if you can, stand with me for a moment, and we're just going to just offer the Lord our hearts. Lord, we just give our hearts to you this morning. Lord, we know that it's out of the heart that the issues of life come from. So, Lord, I just pray right now, Lord, that you would touch our hearts today. Lord, you are the one that heals hearts. You're the one that heals the broken hearts, the wounded hearts, Lord. You're the one that causes our hearts to come alive to the things of God. Lord, one of your desires is that we learn to love you with all of our heart, Lord. So we just give you our hearts right now, Lord, and we just ask you to supernaturally touch us this morning in our heart. Lord, we pray that there's anything that's been built around our hearts, like some kind of tower or some kind of obstacle or barrier, Lord, that's keeping you out, Lord, we ask you to remove it today, Lord. We're asking you to demolish it, Lord, and allow you, Lord, to touch us. Lord, we just surrender to your plans and your purposes and your will today. We just ask you, Lord, that you would just allow us, Lord, to know you, Lord, in the power of your resurrection, the fullness of what you have accomplished for us on the cross, Lord. We just release right now, Lord, your perfect will in this place, in our lives, right now, in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord.
Know that each and every one of you are here for a reason. Even if you woke up this morning with a bad attitude and you kind of got into the car with a hesitancy, that you're here, that the Lord sees you, and he hears you. You just get the great opportunity to worship him. So just begin to receive his love. Receive the gifts that he has for you, the healing that he has for you. Just begin to receive him today. And we stand in awe of you today, Jesus. We stand in awe of who you are today, Jesus. Come on, just begin putting his name on your lips. Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. We're here for you. There's no other reason for us to be here. If you're not here today, Jesus, thank you, Lord. We thank you. We thank you. We thank you. We thank you. Jesus, Jesus. Jesus, Jesus. And Lord, I stand in awe, in awe. Thank you.
I'm here and I know you feel me. Calm down. hear it when you move, you make my heart pound. When you feel the room, you're here and I know you're moving. I'm here and I know you feel me.
Been fought, we are winning. We are on the winning side. We have been winning since we gave our hearts to God, so that's what I want us to sing right now.
And this is how I win my battles. And this is how I win my battles. And this is how I win my battles.
I want more of you, God.
just want to move your heart, God. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Jesus, Jesus, precious Lord.
gotta know, I gotta know.
To
churches respond back to us this morning, would say, you know what moves me is you. It's you. It got me to move from my place of glory, where the angels worshiped me, where I had splendor and honor in the sight of all creation. And I stepped down and I lowered myself and I humbled myself in the form of a man and took my place among you, because you moved me. You moved me so much that I laid my life down. You moved me so much that I laid my life down for you. I gave you it all. I gave it all for you. I paid it all for you. You're still what moves me today. You're still what causes my heart to beat and skip a beat, because I rejoice in your life. I love your life. I love who I've created you to be. I know sometimes you get distracted and you seem like you've lost your way, but just know that I'm at work in you, that I'm the one that started this work in you, and I'll be the one that finishes this work in you. I'll be the one that takes you to the finish line. I'll be the one that, if I have to, I'll carry you over the finish line. I'll make sure you succeed, because you move me. You caused me to move heaven and earth so that you could be mine once again. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Are you sitting down? Thank you, team. Great job. Love that song. I was listening to that song, and the whole time I'm going, Lord, you're the ones that moves. We move you. And then he responded to it. Yeah. So. Praise the Lord. So how's everyone doing today? Good?
Yeah.
Good. Praise the Lord. I keep getting stronger and stronger, so I'm thankful to the Lord and His grace and His strength.
Get my stool.
Okay, she's got to get her stool. Here we go. His grace and His strength fortifying me and giving me just, I guess for lack of a better term, like going from strength to strength. The ability to once again live and move my have my being in Him. That means that move is really good. I want to see if this is working. It is. Okay. So we've been praying for our government, and let me go ahead and bring this up here a moment. And I like this scripture because it really helps qualify our prayers for our government leaders. In 1 Timothy 2:2, the Passion Translation, Jesse was saying, I don't think that's the right translation. he was saying that because it talks about every political leader and representative, that it's not specific to party or it's specific to ideology or the way that you believe. It's about praying for those who have been placed in authority over us, who have been given either through the vote, or like I was talking to somebody yesterday, through birth. Kings were automatically kings, whether they were qualified or good, or, you know, they hopefully tried to train them, but the people were stuck with the king that they got. And we have a free political society here where we can vote. I know that there's questions about the way that things happened in the vote, but that still doesn't keep us from praying for our leaders.
Right.
And so it says, and pray for every political leader and representative so that we would be able to live tranquil, undisturbed lives, and we worship the awe-inspiring God with pure hearts. So with that being said, there's some things that are in Congress that have passed the House and things that are being discussed by the House that are trying to make their way to the Senate that are, they just aren't fair type of laws. And so I want to pray for the Congress today, the Senate especially, that they hear the voice of the Lord, that they're guided by truth and righteousness mm-hmm. instead of their political agenda. So, Lord, we do. We lift up our Congress and our Senate to you right now. And, Lord, we know that they have these plans that they've set in their own heart. And some of those are because of the pressure of their peers and the pressure of the party that they're in on both sides. And Lord, we pray that that your will, Lord, would be accomplished. Lord, we know that there's many people who want the vote to go a certain way. Mm-hmm. But Lord, we know that you cause even what the enemy means for our evil, Lord, to work for our good. And so, Lord, we pray that your perfect will would be done, Lord, in these laws. Lord, that you would touch the hearts of the representatives and the senators, Lord, that they would vote according to, Lord, as you would desire. And Lord, we pray that you would bless our senators, both parties, Lord, that you would allow them to hear and experience, Lord, your guiding and your leading, even though, Lord, that it sounds like some of them don't know you or worship you. Lord, we know that the heart of the king is in the hand of the Lord. So we believe this for our senators and our congressmen. We pray, Lord, for the Biden administration, Lord, for all of his cabinet and all the people, Lord, that are serving there. And Father, those that know you, we pray that you would raise them up, Lord, so they could be a clear voice in that administration, that they could give godly counsel and wisdom. And Lord, help them to be bold in their faith. We just ask right now, Lord, that you would allow your plans that you have established for this nation to be fulfilled, Lord, no matter who would be in office. Lord, we just thank you, God, that you're the one that is at work, Lord, in people's lives, and that you're the one that's causing your perfect plan to be fulfilled in this world and in this earth, in Jesus' name.
Yes, Lord.
Amen. Now, on top of that, over the past few weeks, praying for Yakima has been on my heart. And this isn't something that we've done much. We haven't focused on praying for Yakima. But as we were praying at the very beginning of the year, there was a group of us that that came to the prayer meeting that was, I think it was the first
Saturday night.
In January. And we ended up praying, and we really felt like the Lord was communicating some key things to us. Mm-hmm. One of them was about sowing and reaping,
right.
Harvest. It was about kind of caring for the harvest, being there for the harvest. And so as I've been praying about this, contemplating it, thinking about it, to me, what is our harvest field? Well, it's our families, you know, that would be the close part of our harvest. It's the places where we work. But all in all, it's really Yakima. It's where we live. It's the place where we dwell right now. And so I would like to see us start to really think about Yakima. You know, when we're praying as a family, just ask the Lord to open up the floodgates of his presence into people's lives, to cause those that don't know him to be drawn to him, to have the scales removed from their eyes. How many know that when you don't know God, that says that we have scales over our eyes? And I had many people approach me with the gospel in my early days before I truly got saved. And it was like, you know, hearing somebody going, wah, 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 wah. I couldn't hear it, you know. And but when the Lord, through either someone's prayer or through his grace or however it was, the scales got removed from my eyes and I was able to see the glorious gospel. I was able to hear, you know, and I was able to receive. And so prayer changes things. And so we're going to be getting a map that we're going to put in the foyer of the Yakima County, and we're going to start praying for our city. And why is that? So that we can be part of this harvest. I really believe that God is doing some supernatural things right now. Mm-hmm. I just heard a testimony yesterday of a group from another church and how they had just gotten together for a birthday party. And they were getting ready to leave, and someone said, hey, I would like prayer because I've been really anxious lately, and I'm sure because of all the things that are going on in the world and possibly their own life. And so they started praying for him. Well, the birthday party that was done lasted another 3 hours.
And so they ended up like taking water bottles and pouring in on each other, rebaptizing themselves in the Lord. And the reason I'm saying this is because that tells me that God's doing something. I, even though we haven't had that necessarily happen here, I've been sensing the Lord working, you know, for a long time in all of our hearts. And when I hear communications out of your own heart, I realize that he's doing a deep work in all of us. And so that tells me that, you know, we're not in just, you know, ordinary days. Right. We're in significant days. I think just as we see the world growing darker and we see it doing things that we go like, what is going on? The Lord is saying, you know what? This may be going on, but here's what I'm going to do. Here's my plan. Here's what I'm going to impart into Yakima. Here's what I'm going to impart in the United States. And so sometimes it takes pressure for really great things to be created. You know, if you think about a diamond, you think about a pearl. Yep, it has to do with you know, kind of a traumatic experience. You think about the gold when it's refined. How hot does that fire have to get for the gold to get refined? And so, I think we need to look at our situation and realize that even though from the outside how we look at it, it's like, oh, what's going on? That God can be at work even what looks like it's evil against us. I always think of Joseph, you know, when he was standing before his brothers and he said, what you meant for evil for me, God intended for good. So when they threw him into the pit and sold him into slavery, they meant evil for him, but God intended it for not only his good, but their good as well. So that tells me that God is really big. So I'm going to pray just for the overall Yakima Valley, not call out any specific names right now. But Father, we just ask right now that you, Lord, the one that loves Yakima more than we could ever love Yakima. You love every soul. You love every life. You love every heart, Lord, in Yakima. Lord, we just align our hearts right now with you. And we just ask that you would allow Yakima to be saved. Lord, that there would be none that you have called that would be missed. There would be none that the enemy could say, oh, I stole that one from you. No, that your harvest would be full. Lord, that you would be able to reach every heart. We know that you would have it, that none would perish, Lord. So we pray that you would allow your supernatural power. It says that your angels are your harvesters, Lord. So we just release, Lord, the power of the harvesting angels right now in Yakima, Lord, to prepare the harvest fields, Lord. And we, Lord, as your people, Lord, we volunteer, Lord, to be used by you in our workplaces and our families, Lord, and in areas, Lord, that are recreational, Lord, in areas of just normal life, just going to the store, Lord, just driving down the street, Lord. We give ourselves to you. We avail ourselves to you to be used by you, Lord, to reach this city. Lord, we just ask right now that if there's anything that we can do this week, Lord, that will help increase the harvest in Yakima, Lord, that you would put that on our hearts. And Lord, that we would be able to move and walk in that obedience. In Jesus' name. Amen. Just so you guys don't feel like, you know, I was being sliding the other part of the valley. There it is right there. Oh, sorry. There it is right there. See? Yakima County goes all the way to Grandview and out to White Swan. I encourage you, you know, you guys can get Google Earth and you can bring it up and you can actually like zoom in on Yakima Valley and let your heart and your mind connect with the valley. Look at the streets. Pray over the streets where you live in your city. When you're driving down the road, like Eric was sharing last week, you know, when he was driving, going to those places, he's believing that as he's trailing that area, that God's being released, mm-hmm. that the power of the kingdom's being released. Mm-hmm. This means we have to think a little different. You know, we've been definitely knowing and experiencing the love of God in our own lives. And that's good. And we need that to start. We need to be loved first before we can love. I really believe that. I think people who have a problem loving others, you need to get loved by God. If you could get yoked in the love of God, you will be able to love others. It will be a natural outflow. It won't just be something you have to try to work up. Oh, I want to work up trying to love people. No, let God love you first. Because you know what that love does? It covers all the things in your life.
Multitude of sins.
And it lets you, when you realize that you're loved, you can love others freely. So, amen?
Amen.
All right. Well, let's go ahead. Speaking of love, we're going to continue. We're going to continue to talk about love today, and we're going to talk about the bond of perfection. And what's so funny?
Nothing.
Oh, you're smiling. I thought, okay. Colossians 3:14. Now, last week, Eric and Nancy were sharing about the prodigal son, but Nancy kept going back to Colossians 3 and reading some verses. And every time she would read it, it's like I would go like, oh, because I would read it. And then I'd start looking in my Bible and going other places, you know. But I decided to table it and then check it out this week. So the bond of perfection, that's a unique term. You know, it's on the outside, it's like, okay, what does that really mean? Well, let's go ahead and take a look at Colossians 3, not just, we'll look at 3:14 first. So go ahead, babe.
But above all these things, put on love, which is the bond of perfection.
Oh, there's the answer. Above all these things, and we'll look at what these things are. Put on love, which is the bond of perfection. Again, we can tell that love is something. It's a bond of perfection. But what does that really mean? What does it mean to have, when we have love in our lives, that we're operating in what's called the bond of perfection? So hopefully I'll be able to communicate that to you today, or we will. So let's go ahead and look at Colossians 3:12 through 14, the ESV.
Put on then, as God's chosen ones, that would be me and you, holy and beloved, compassionate hearts, kindness, humility, meekness, and patience, bearing with one another, and if one has a complaint against another, forgiving each other as the Lord has forgiven you, so that you also must forgive. And above all these, put on love, which binds everything together in perfect harmony.
So here we have, put on then, as you see, as God's chosen ones, holy and beloved, compassionate hearts, kindness, humility, meekness, patience, bearing with one another. If you have a complaint against another, forgiving each other as the Lord has forgiven us. So above all these things, those things, above all of them. In other words, put this at the top. This is the highest priority. Don't just say, well, I need to have a compassionate heart, or I need to be kind or humility or meekness and try to do those things. Because to do those things outside of love, it's going to be difficult. We'll see that. What does it mean by it binds everything together in perfect harmony? It sounds like it's somehow wrapping itself. Let's go and look at a couple other translations. This is the Passion Translation and Message.
For love is supreme and must flow through each of these virtues. Love becomes the mark of true maturity. You're going to have to read it.
Okay. For love is supreme and must flow through each of these virtues. Each of what virtues? Those virtues that we just read. Mm-hmm. Love becomes the true mark of maturity. That's a pretty good expression. The Message says this, and regardless of what else you put on, wear love. It's your basic all-purpose garment. Never be without it. I like that. It's your all-purpose garment. In other words, it's the one that you can use all the time.
Right.
So the thing is about this, if I was to read this, and I have read these before in the past, and when I would hear about love, I would think, okay, how do I act in love? Well, I mean, I have to think like Jesus. You know, I have to think about, you know, what he's done for me so that I can be grateful enough for what he's done to me that I can love somebody that's really irritating me. You know, and so I would go through this mental gymnastics of getting myself in a state of, okay, I can love my enemies because Jesus loved me. And so it was like this logical steps that I would go through. And sometimes I would accomplish it. I would love somebody. I don't know if I would love them. I would act like I think Jesus would act towards them. I don't know how they felt towards it. I don't know if they saw, you know, genuineness or if they saw someone that was just trying to do something that they were told to do.
Lorena and Angel are on listening online, and Lorena just sent, amen, Pastor, yes.
So, yes, Lorena, hey, Angel, good to see you guys, or hear you guys, or...
Know that you're there.
Yeah. So we have this mindset that we can get into where we have to produce something. And now this is how I always can put things back into perspective. Would I ever want to interact with my wife in a way that I thought I had to just produce something? In other words, that I needed to, you know, when we were singing those songs, you know, some of them that we're wondering how do we get our relationship with God right, or what moves you, Lord? What, you know, is it a song I sing, or is it, you know, is it oil that I pour out? Mm-hmm. I mean, even though I do things for Gay because I love her, you know, and I see, you know, that her back's hurting and I rub her back or try to pop it, or I'm not doing that to get her love. I'm doing that because of love. Mm-hmm. Because I'm loved and you're loved, and it's something that's mutual and interactive. And because of that, out of that love, we love our kids, you know. It's easy to love our kids and have a household of love and an atmosphere of love, and where there's general concern and nurturing. So what I'm trying to say is anytime we try to do something because it's just the right thing, we're going to fail. It's kind of that yoking ourselves to the law. It's making us think that if we follow these guidelines or these rules, we're going to be okay. Mm-hmm. And Jesus didn't do it that way.
Right.
Jesus says, I only do and say what I see the Father saying. You know, so to speak, Jesus was yoked to the Father all the time.
Mm-hmm.
Jesus was yoked so that whatever the Father's heart was, his heart was. You know, whatever moved the Father moved Jesus. And whatever moved Jesus moved the Father in like fashion. Mm-hmm. Isn't that cool?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. I'm thinking.
You're thinking. So I want to show you what the bond of perfection looks like. Hello? There it is. That's the bond of perfection. No, I mean, it's a type of bond of perfection. If you see these ropes that are tied around the logs there, that would be the bond. That word bond in the Greek literally means to tie and bind so that something is in union, or so that something is held together. So if you think about this, if love is the bond of perfection, it literally ties and holds everything about us, whether it's gifting, whether it's just who we are in God, if it's just our nature, our character, and what he's doing in our lives, that life and godliness that he's given us, love will bind that together. Mm-hmm. Isn't that good?
Mm-hmm.
Now, if you look at the other one, it's a bunch of, looks like fire kindling. That's also a bond. That's a band. That looks like it might be a little bit stronger. Maybe not, though. That's two times that rope's been tied around there. But if you look at what I'm saying is perfection, perfection is the actual item that's being bound.
Mm-hmm.
Does that make sense?
No.
No. Good. Can you explain it?
No.
No. Okay. So let's say, let's go back.
You said perfection is the item that's bound.
That's being bound. It's the object of the binding. Okay. So if we think about this, let's go back here.
It's not the actual particle that's being bound together. It's what they're using to bind.
That's the bond. The bond is the rope or the band. So let's go back here.
Okay.
So put on God's chosen ones, holy and beloved, compassionate hearts, kindness, humility, meekness, patience, bearing with one another. If one has a complaint against another, forgiving each other as the Lord has forgiven you. So if you look at this, those are the sticks. That is the wood.
Oh, gotcha.
Those are the logs. And you could add more to that list.
Got it.
You could put the gifts of the Holy Spirit. You could put the power of the Holy Spirit operating in your lives. You could put wisdom and knowledge. I believe you could put everything in that. This is just the list that at this particular time Paul was communicating.
Right.
So we know in 1 Corinthians 13 it says that you could have the tongue of men and of angels, but if you don't have love, you're just a brass sounding gong, or, you know, it doesn't sound good, you know. Or you could have the prophetic power, you know, and prophecy all kinds of, you know, future things, and have wisdom and knowledge, But if you don't have love, it's not going to count as anything. It has no value. And so if we think here, all of these things are items that I at one point tried to do, tried to live with humility, tried to be living in meekness, tried to have more patience, you know. Put the fruits of the Spirit in there. Love's included in that, but joy, peace, kindness, goodness, meekness, self-control, all of those things that are items that we're supposed to live with. It says here, above all, put on love. And we're going to get to how you put on love, because that's a key. And it binds everything together in perfect harmony. In other words, see how these sticks are all being held together?
Right. The bond then is love.
The bond is love, exactly.
And the sticks and the wood is the perfection. And all of those things.
It's our life in God.
Gotcha.
I would say everything that we are potentially now, have been, and in the future, that love will bind those things together.
Gotcha.
They will allow it to operate and function in a way.
Now see, I understand.
Right. And when we were talking about being yoked to the Lord, you know, we were talking about, you know, being able to have rest for our souls, that we weren't striving and struggling and always having, you know, anguish over, did I do the right thing or the wrong thing? And we just able to have rest because we're yoked to love, and love never fails.
Right.
It never fails. So if we're yoked to love, we're not going to fail. That's why, you know, in the idea that Jesus is going to make sure that we make it. We have to understand that he wants us to succeed more than we want to succeed.
Mm-hmm.
He wants us to be standing next to him more than we want to be standing next to him. He wants us to be in his presence more than we could ever want it. And that's hard for us to understand, but that's who is chasing after us. That's who redeeming us. As I like to say, he has more preference over us and our own needs than he has over his own. And he demonstrated that on the cross. All right, let's look at a few more scriptures that might help this move on. Galatians 5:14. You thinking, read?
For the whole law is fulfilled in one word. You shall love your neighbor as yourself. The Passion Translation. For love completes the laws of God. All of the law can be summarized in one grand statement. Demonstrate love to your neighbor even as you care for and love yourself.
So you're going, okay, so what does this have to do with the bundle of sticks? So look at this word, is fulfilled, is perfection.
Mm-hmm.
So the whole law is perfected. The whole law reaches perfection in one word.
Love.
Love.
Got ya.
And notice it's interesting because some people would say, oh, well, where's love the Lord with all thy heart, soul, mind, and strength? You know, one of the other greatest commandments.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, what about that one? Well, I'm here to tell you, if you're loving your neighbor, you love God. That's what John says. How can you say you love God if you don't love your brother? So if you're loving, agape loving your neighbor, in other words, unconditionally loving them.
Mm-hmm.
In other words, it's not that you choose, okay, I'm going to try to unconditionally love this person. Good luck. That's not going to happen. You're going to have an agenda. You're going to have a motive. Maybe it's just so they get saved. Well, there's still an agenda and a motive. Love's unconditional. God loves us whether we're going to get saved or not. Do you guys realize that?
Yeah.
He loves us so much that he died for every person on the earth. Not just the ones that would receive him, all the ones who rejected him. That's how much he loves them.
Yeah.
And so that's the kind of love we have to have. Good luck, you know, conjuring that up on your own. It's not going to happen. It's going to take God loving you to the place where you realize wholly and fully that you're so loved that nothing's going to separate you from that love. Nothing's going to hold back that love from you. You can't behave to lose that love.
Mm-hmm.
You can behave to break relationship and mess up your own communication with the Lord, but you can't behave bad enough to lose that love. He's always going to love you.
Mm-hmm.
Remember, he loved you when you were at your worst. I always say that God didn't die for your best day. He died for your worst day, past, present, and future. So it does not matter if your worst day is ahead, he's still going to love you, and he still died for that day. Mm-hmm. So for love completes or perfects the laws of God. Mm-hmm. So what's another way to say the laws of God? The rules of Christianity. Because we don't really have, you know, the Septuagint and the books of Leviticus that we sit there and try to follow anymore. Hopefully not. Nobody's trying to do that. But we have the guidelines and stuff that have been laid out for us. This is how you're a good Christian. You know, behave this way. You know, and you could say, we could read that list that we were reading earlier, and we could say, we could put that on somebody saying, follow these rules. Always be kind. Always forgive your brothers and sisters. But you're not going to do it unless you're in the bond of perfection, love. Yeah, we have some good days and some bad days. It would be like taking a thin thread and trying to, where is it, tie those sticks together. Sometimes it works. Every now and then, I'm getting a handle on this Christianity stuff. And then you realize, oh, I can't keep this up. This is just tiring to try to be nice to people I don't like. I mean, I'm just being honest. You know, how do you do this, Chris? This is impossible. Yeah, it is impossible in your own strength. Yeah. You cannot do it in who you are right now. You have to do it in who God has made you in the heavenlies in the future. Do you realize you appropriate that man now? Who you're going to be standing in front of Jesus, you get to be now. You don't have to wait to stand in front of him to be totally transformed, you know. That's why when we sing these songs, Holy Spirit, I want more. We got everything we need. But what we need is the revelation that we already have it. That's why when we want more, we want to see it. We want it to be visible. But it's supernatural. I mean, I'm totally convinced, and if somebody wants to prove me wrong, that you're never going to receive any more of God than you have right now. Never. Because we have his fullness. That's what it says. We have all things that pertain to life and godliness. That's what the Bible says. Now, if the Bible's wrong, then I'm wrong. But I don't believe it's wrong, because every day I feel him more in my being. Mm-hmm. That's the Holy Spirit. It's the down payment. It's what lets us know that we're his and that we're already sealed with that promise.
Right. Yes.
Do you have anything?
Well, I do, but it's so marinating in there. I don't want to do it prematurely.
Okay, well, let's let it keep marinating then. Okay. So again, don't let the threads of the law or the threads of rules try to be the bond that holds together who you are in Christ, because it will not work.
Yeah.
You've been sitting there for 2 hours, so go ahead. Sorry, I was in a thread, and I couldn't break it, so yeah, thank you.
I want to speak to that thread also, mm-hmm. because for a testimony for me about this, mm-hmm. is when Eric first came to us. For those of you who've been here this long, knew that me and Eric I couldn't get over Eric. Didn't like him, and it wasn't.
He didn't like you. In case you didn't,
just sit down. And my husband, when he put Eric on his prayer of three, my husband said to me one day, you're not going to be able to show him the love of God treating him the way you do. I was like, I don't care. And then the Holy Spirit was like, yes, you do. And then in this time, there was a lot of upheaval in our family, Tim being deployed, you know, all this stuff going on. And so I heard a message, and the person who was preaching said, stop asking God to change the people you want changed. You start asking God to change what's in you when you look at that person that causes you to not love them. I'm driving, and I'm trying to turn on to Washington from 48th, and you know that's an impossible place to turn on to, and I just start bawling because I know who he's telling me to love. And then he sticks me and him and Valerie in a car together for a trip to Seattle to the airport, and we get lost. Because Eric was trying to tell me how to drive. So when I started praying,
welcome to the family.
Yeah. So when I started praying about, and I do that now, I remember that now. Lord, I can't love this person like you want me to love them right now. And I need you to do that for me. I need you to bring that in me, change in me, whatever it is. And it's not always, you know, immediate. Sometimes you've got to be stuck in a car with them. But yes, that is where, you, like Pastor Mike was saying, you know, we can't do it out of our own power. We have to ask for Christ to help us do this. And we have to ask him, we have to be willing and vulnerable for him to change in us what is causing us to not love others. It doesn't mean you have to like them, but you do have to love them.
Right. Well, and again, I want to speak that for a second, because I believe that the Lord's taking us to another level. Because Jesus didn't have to say, Father, teach me how to love the way that you love. He had the love of the Father in him. And he flowed with love. And so I believe that's where God's taking us. He's taking us beyond our own ability. He's taking us beyond our own reason. And he's taking us to a new horizon. And this new horizon will be administrators of the love of God. Where we don't have to, like, I need you to change me, Lord. Because he's already changed us. I was functioning just like that. I would have successful times where I needed to get along with, and he would do it in me. But let's make it so that it's a natural flow. Mm-hmm. Just like we love those that we love. It's a natural flow, right? It's a natural flow. And so if God gives us and plants in us the love for humanity like he has, it's going to be easy. We'll be laying down our lives left and right for people because we realize the value that they carry, not just in God, but in us. Go ahead, Myla.
If you go back to that last slide that you're on with the... Yeah.
There you go.
So the Passion Translation there at the bottom, it says, "For love completes the laws of God. All of the law can be summarized in one grand statement. Demonstrate love to your neighbor even as you care for and love yourself." If you take that second sentence there and all of the law gets turned to the work of Jesus Christ on the cross, it really makes so... The work of Jesus Christ on the cross can be summarized in one grand statement. Demonstrate love to your neighbor even as you care for and love yourself. Jesus died for us on the cross as an act of love. Like, that was love. The law of love is the sacrifice of the Lord for you,
Amen.
For me, for that person at the grocery store that smells funny, for all them people. It was the work of the cross. Like, that's the law of love.
Amen.
Yeah.
Amen.
Love that.
And that's what that love that he demonstrated is now what imparts God's love in us. Praise the Lord. Well,
and what I want to say with that is that God does not love me the me that I know is me. He doesn't love me the way that I think I am. He loves me the way he knows I can be. So you think about that. If you're always thinking in yourself, oh, Jesus, you know, that person's driving me crazy. And Jesus would say, oh, but just you wait. You're going to love him or her completely by the time we're done. Because I know you. I know where you're going. I know the you that I've called you to be. And that's powerful, you guys. That's relieving to me. That's like that. It's not that it gets me off the hook, because that so puts me on a hook. A deep hook. A hook not able to get off the hook. But what it does is it gives me God's help. God's sight for who I am. God's vision of who I am. Not mine. I would fall so short. But he loves me. He wants to work with who I am. And I cannot reach people that one of you can reach. So I can't, and he can't do it by ourselves. Each one of you, God's calling to say, step it up to who I've called you to be. It's okay, I'm going to help you. I'm going to give you the strength that you need. And the tools that you need. All the utilities that you're going to need. It's all coming in this package, bound together in love.
That's
it's
good.
All coming in this package for you. Do you want it?
Amen. Well, we have quite a bit more to cover, so I'm going to go ahead and end with a testimony of someone that
I just want to read this out loud.
Oh, go ahead. She's got something.
Lorena is texting me. She says, amen, Pastor. Yes, that's good, Pastor. Totally get it. Oh, love is the binding. Oh, my gosh. So good. And then she says, Gay, this reminds me of when we sent you the food, then your neighbors ate it.
Yeah.
So when we had COVID in November, Angel and Lorena
Graciously bought us
dinner, Uber dinner, and they delivered it to the next door neighbors, and the next door neighbors ate our dinner. And so she said, Gaylene, can we love if that means that your neighbor takes your blessing?
That's good. Who would have thought that that was a sermon illustration?
Oh, yeah, it was a sermon illustration. Well, Thank you, Lorena.
Here's another one. I was talking with someone this week, and they were in a coffee drive-thru, and they were just getting their coffee, and they noticed that these individuals behind them were flipping them off. Yeah, I don't know if they were taking too much time or whatever it was, but and so this individual just grabbed a $10 bill and handed it to the lady and said, would you please pay for those two men's drinks with that? And so he drove off, and a few days later, he talked to that same gal who was his barista that day, and she said that those men, after he had done that, said, oh, they felt so sorry, and they felt bad for what they had done. And so I was talking to this individual, and I said, what motivated that? And he said it just came out of him. It wasn't that he said, well, these are my enemies. I need to treat them, with love.
Coals of fire on their head.
Never thought of any of that. It was like a natural response. So I'm telling you, that response was not, of the natural mind.
Right.
That was not of most people's, most people, when they see that, they're going to, exchange,
Coming out of them at that
point.
It
was the nature of God. It was the character and nature of God. And so this is what I hope for us. I know that we're all in a process. I don't want any of you to go home and say, wow, I really got a long ways to go. There's no way I'm going to meet this standard. Well, I'm here to tell you, the standard is not anyone here. The standard is who God already made you to be.
Right.
We don't have to compare ourselves with one person in this room, Anyone who likes to come up on Sunday and share because, the Lord's burning something in their hearts, you don't have to go like, oh, man, I wish I could do that. I'm just sitting here and just receiving, and I try to go live my life for him. If that's what God's doing you, that is awesome.
Yep.
That's, you don't have to sit there and compare with Gay or myself or anybody's worship. I'm just telling you, God has you on a plan. And is moving you in a certain direction. So, and if you hear this and say, wow, I wouldn't have given that $10. Just know that God is at work in you to will and to do of his good pleasure. He has started a work in you
that's good.
And some would say, just from the day I received Jesus, I think it was before that. I think he was working in my heart before the day I received Jesus. I don't know how long he was working before that to get me prepared so that when I received the seed, it didn't get robbed by the enemy. It didn't get choked out by the cares of the world. I mean, he was working my heart so that I could change. If he did that then, and he's been doing it through my whole life, he'll do it for yours. Yeah. He will take you to where he wants you to go.
Right.
All you have to be is willing.
Yeah.
That's it. You just have to be willing. You have to be able to say at times, this is true though, at times like, okay, I'm not able to keep going here. Lord, you have to help me. Or he asks you to do something. It takes being obedient.
Obedience.
Sometimes it takes a while before you're obedient. I was talking to somebody yesterday, and the Lord had been putting on their heart to get hold of somebody for a long time and try to make their relationship right. And I told him, I said, well, if he's telling you that much, it means that he's probably working on the other end with that person's relationship and getting ready to restore you. So, and he goes, I know he's been telling me for a long time. And he was kind of feeling guilty about that. I said, God's patience is so much greater than ours.
Yeah.
We have to understand that, you know, it took him, you know, roughly 4,000 years to bring Christ. That's how much patience he had with the world to get it to the fullness of time so that when Jesus came, everything would be ready. The roads were prepared. You know, everything was necessary to spread the gospel throughout mm-hmm. all creation.
Mm-hmm.
We have to realize that, you know, he is long-suffering beyond our human understanding. And so he is that way in your life. He is bringing change to you right this moment, I believe. I believe whether you feel it or not, we prayed about it. I believe that he's bringing transformation to your life today.
Right.
That as you're hearing my voice, that God is doing some things new and he's changing you. You may not know it. You may not sense it. But I'm telling you, we don't look at the things that are seen or the things that we feel with our natural senses. We look at the truth of the word and we know that his word doesn't return void, number one.
Right.
And he has sent his word through worship today, through mm-hmm. prophetic, through people sharing, and he's bringing transformation to our lives. I truly believe that.
Yeah.
We will not be the same when we leave this place today. How many of us
are different than we were the day before we got saved? Because everybody can say they're different, right?
Before I got saved?
And if you can't say that you're not saved, come see one of us afterwards and we'll help you with that. But
it's really easy.
It's so easy. It's just...
believe.
Go, yeah, yeah, just grab your Lord's hand and start walking.
There you go.
But what I want to say is that it was a decision you made when you came to God. And for your growth, we can't want it for you more than you want it for yourself.
Yeah.
We know what the yes will do for you. And you might even have an inkling of what the yes would do for you. But unless you do the yes, unless you make the move, unless you say, from this point on, let's go. We can't want it for you more than you want it for yourself. I mean, we want it for you so bad. We really do. But you have to want it for yourself. And then just do it. Be better than Nike. Pull Jesus on board and just do it.
Yeah. That's good. Amen. Does anyone have anything else? Okay, Eric.
I think we could hear these messages and sometimes get a little bit overwhelmed. You know, it's not an uncommon thing we're talking about. Love others. However, the thing that we can sometimes miss is that it's not in our own doing, in our own power. It has to be partnered with God. He wants to co-labor with us. I said it yesterday, Mike and Gay, me and Nance were talking on FaceTime, that whatever we build, we'll have to sustain. So whatever God builds, he'll sustain.
Yeah.
So when we see this picture of the sticks bundled up, that's a picture of God sustaining. A picture of me sustaining it is me picking up the bundle of sticks.
Trying to hold them.
Trying to hold them together. Right? There's no bond. I'm the bond.
There you go.
Right? As I'm walking, sticks are going to fall out and it's just, I'm going to be a mess. Right? And so if we can envision that, like, what does it look like for me to just be love? It looks like me co-laboring with Jesus and saying, hey, we're going to do this together. Because when I've tried to do it, I've screwed it up. When I've tried to do it, I've fallen short. But when I partner with him, he's not going to fail because he's already won it. Amen.
Right, so there, Eric.
Yes, the yoke of love, absolutely so.
That's how you connect with him. Amen. Okay, anyone else? Very well said. I love this holding the sticks. I didn't get that. That's so good, you know, because that's what we do, don't we? I'm going to do this. And then the sticks are all over the place and people are tripping on them. And you're causing others to stumble with your...
and your bride is trying to get
right
the
there.
Splinters out of your arm because the stick slid down and
I don't like
splinters.
This.
A two-year-old wants to help you with the laundry and they drop everything along the way and go over and pick it up.
That's true.
That's the Lord, though.
Yeah. All right. Well, Father, we do. We thank you for this opportunity to gather together. And Lord, we know that you are the one that's at work in our lives. Lord, we acknowledge that right now. And Lord, if there's anyone that's hearing my words, Lord, and just feels a heaviness and a weight, like a pressure because of the rules and the things that have been put on them, not as a yoke of love, Lord, but as a yoke of control, a yoke of trying to get them to achieve something that individual, most likely who put it on them, wasn't even able to achieve themselves. Lord, I pray that there would be a liberty and a freedom that would come to them today, that they could receive your love in exchange, that they would lay those things down at your feet right now, Lord, and that they would be able to take up, like you say, take up my yoke upon you, because you're gentle and you're lowly at heart, Lord. You demonstrated that on the cross, Lord. Yes. And you want us to have rest for our souls. You want us to live an abundant life, Lord. So I just ask right now, Lord, that you would just allow that individual or those individuals, Lord, to receive your love, Lord, and receive it as freedom in their life. Because, you know, whom the Son has set free is free indeed.
Amen.
And it was for freedom's sake, Lord, that you made us free, so that we could live free, not under yokes of bondage, Lord, but under yokes of love. And so we just right now just dedicate, Lord, all of these words that we've spoken, the songs that we've sung, Lord, into your hands and ask you to use them for your glory in people's lives. And thank you, Lord, that each and every one of us is leaving this place today being transformed and changed into a new image of who you are. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, we'll be continuing this another time. So praise the Lord. Have a wonderful day. Love y'all.